Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Welcome to the State of the Race. It is Saturday, November 2nd, 2024. We are 3 days away from the election on November 5th. It is beyond crunch time at this point. Coming up in this episode, what do we know about the early vote? What do we know about the Hispanic vote? And what do we know about the general, generic ballot vote? And what does that mean? What does it mean for the election? We'll get into that in a little bit. In the Pulse cast, Donald Trump is right around 53% to win this election. What that basically means is this is a toss-up, man. We're not going to know for sure. The data is not going to give us an answer, unfortunately. It's not going to tell us there's a 70 or 80% favorite. It's not going to tell us that there's a sure thing here. What it's going to tell us is it's very, very close. Hold your breath and pray. That's about all we have at this point. On our quick candidate updates, Donald Trump lagging in early vote with seniors in Pennsylvania. This is a red flag for the GOP, according to Politico. And I bring this one up because I think a lot of people try to read a lot into early voting. And it's not to say that you can't dig out any meaningful data from it. But there's a lot of big question marks when it comes to early voting. In fact, another story that came out today, Kamala Harris has a big lead among early voters, polls show. Should you freak out by this? Should you freak out because Kamala Harris is doing so well? No, I don't think the answer is yes to that, because early vote, with a couple of exceptions, tends to mislead more than anything else. And I remember this going back, probably it might have been the 2004, 2008 elections, and going back and thinking about this data and going through it and really focusing on it and trying to figure out, is there a pattern that you can take from state to state to figure out how these elections will actually be called? Is there a lot you can know by looking at the data of early voters? And I can't remember which election it was, but I remember being burned by it. I remember thinking to myself, gosh, I had this impression from the early vote that things were going this way. And at the end of it, it all turned out to be kind of nonsense. Like, it didn't really prove anything. And there are reasons for that. All we get from the early data is how many people showed up and what party they were registered on. So we don't know who they're voting for, of course. Obviously, we do know the vast majority of Democrats will vote for Kamala Harris and the vast majority of Republicans will vote for Donald Trump. We know that. And so, but it's an unsure measure, right? Like, we don't know for sure. And that's always something to throw a little bit of a question into any data set. The other part about this is everyone else, we know nothing about. Like, independents showing up, we know the number of independents that are showing up. We have no idea who they're voting for. For that information, we're just kind of speculating. And then, of course, we don't know what percentage of voters show up early. We don't know if, in certain states, tons of people vote by mail or show up early. In other states, very few do, relative perspective. The one state that everyone throws out there, you can look at this data, is Nevada. Now, I honestly don't even dive too much into Nevada's data. But one of the reasons why it is known to be reliable is John Ralston, who's a guy who's been looking at this data forever. He writes a blog obsessively about every little bit of this information, which is helpful. You can learn some things. The other part about this is in Nevada, the overwhelming majority of voters vote early. About 80% of voters vote before Election Day. That's higher than most states. And it's why if you're getting a picture of 80% of the vote, maybe you can draw a little bit more out of that. And, Ralston's really good at breaking the stuff down. So there are some things you can take from early voting. But if I were you, honestly, I wouldn't go too crazy with it, because at the end of the day, it winds up being you can prove almost any story. I could have given you 5 stories saying Trump was winning in early voting as well. He said really good results in Nevada, for example. So it can be a misleading indicator. And so I warn you to maybe stay away from that one a little bit. I want to get into a couple different things on today's focus. First of all, I want to dive a little bit into the party ID. This is a measure that is sort of, it's known as the generic ballot. And it is basically not asking who you're going to vote for. It's just asking a generic question of, like, what party do you affiliate with? And this is an interesting measure because it almost always favors Democrats at some level. Back in November 2016, Donald Trump was the Republican candidate, Hillary Clinton the Democratic candidate. And what we saw there was a 3-point lead on the party ID advantage nationally for the Democrats, a 3-point lead. A slight lead, but a 3-point lead. Now, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, I don't have these numbers right in front of me, but Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by about 2.5 points. So it was pretty close to what the popular vote wound up coming out at. What did we get in that election? We got a very close election, and it was an election in which Donald Trump squeaked out a victory. In 2020, the party ID advantage nationally was Democrats plus 6. So 3 points better for the Democrats in 2020 than in 2016. What we saw in the popular vote in the 2020 election was a lead by Joe Biden by about 4.5 points. Again, pretty close to the party ID national vote. So, all right, that's interesting. It doesn't necessarily mean all that much because it's hard to put in perspective. But we can also look at where we are now. This goes up to September, so it's not from the last month, though the last month has been an improvement for Donald Trump, a good month for Donald Trump in October. So these numbers are probably equal or a little bit better for Trump. In September, we had the party ID advantage from Gallup at Republicans plus 1. So again, in 2016 and 2020, Democrats led this measure by 3 and 6 points. This time, Republicans lead it by 1 in September, and that's not even including a good month of October for Donald Trump. So what does that mean? Well, when Republicans tend to win these races, so Harry Enten reported this on CNN. This is going back to 1984. When the Republican Party loses elections, the average Democratic advantage in this measure is 8 points. They usually win this measure, okay? Doesn't mean they win every election, but when they win the elections, they average about a plus 8, okay? When Republicans win, when they win the presidential election, the typical partisan ID advantage is for Democrats still, Democrats plus 3. And remember, I was talking about Hillary Clinton. That's what it was with Hillary Clinton, and Trump won. When it was a little bit higher than plus 3 for Democrats, Trump lost. This time it looks to be considerably better for Donald Trump. We'll see if that plays out. Another part of this that's interesting are some of the minority voters we've talked about for a long time. Hispanic voters being voters that really were not pro-Trump at all. In fact, Trump did historically poorly among Hispanic voters in 2016. And now a lot of that has to do with his border talk, and it was positioned by the media as really, really terrible. It's going to be really, really terrible. He's going to put you in camps and all these things. Well, since then, Hispanic voters have been like, wait a minute, you told me he was going to throw us in like camps. And now actually what we saw by that presidency was that it was much better. Like, we had a better time. We had better economic measures. Everything seemed to be doing even better. Maybe we were lied to a little bit. And I'd argue, maybe that's exactly true. Let me give you a look back at Hispanic voters. This is from a NBC, CNBC, Telemundo poll. Notice how like 947 different networks sponsor that, which is kind of funny. But if you go back to 2012, Barack Obama led this measure by 39 points, won Hispanic voters by 39 points in 2012. 2016, as I mentioned, Donald Trump did actually really poorly among Hispanic voters in 2016. He was actually losing that measure by 50 points. So 11 points worse than Mitt Romney did in 2012. Clinton plus 50 in 2016. In 2020, Biden still won the measure of Hispanic voters, but won it by less, actually won it by only 36, which is roughly what Obama won it by. So after the first 4 years of the Trump administration, he was basically able to eliminate his negative movement as opposed to a typical Republican. However, in the actual poll an exit poll of Latino voters in 2020, Biden lost that measure by about 30. So you think about this. He was in the polls. He was down by 36. He wound up only losing by 30. What does this look like today? Well, according to this NBC poll, Harris 54, Trump 40. He's only down by 14 points, which has completely reversed his historically negative standing from 2016, is improved off of his average standing of 2020, and now has a very impressive Republican run of only minus 14 in this measure. If that holds, if the generic ID situation holds, these are excellent signs for Donald Trump. And I'll remind you, both of these polls were measured before Trump's improvement in October. We don't know what percentage of turnout we're going to get from Hispanic voters, but they do seem to be warming to Trump considerably here as time goes on. Okay, State of the Race is going to be coming again, another episode tomorrow on Sunday. We'll give you more background stats, developments in the election. Then on Tuesday, blazeelection.com/stew. Go there, subscribe, get the best election coverage you're going to get. It's going to be different than MSNBC, going to be different than CNN. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got everybody from the Blaze is going to be on it as well, and we'll give you all the information. That is Tuesday. I think it starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's going to end probably at like midnight or 1 a.m. When it's over, we'll go over to YouTube. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica for the post-game report. And whatever developments are still going on, we'll keep the counts going for you late into the night and early into the morning. So check us out there. Go follow the page. Click the bell for notifications so you know when we go live. Okay, that's it for today's State of the Race. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.